So we're talking about holiness as a supreme higher standard. So when you read the book on Numbers, take note of that. Is he talking about Hagios, Dikaios, or Agathos? And you won't notice them popping up. And the day that you can differentiate the three easily in your life, you move into the third section of the book of Numbers, and you have direction from God. In the third section of the first portion, in chapter 9, it talks about the second Passover they experience. Passover symbolizes fellowship. So in chapter 9, you have fellowship. And in chapter 9, in verse 15, 16, 17, it talks about the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. What does it talk about? Guidance. The pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. They have to follow it all the time. And some Christians today wish for the pillar of cloud and pillar of fire afresh. They say, oh brother, if only we can see that pillar of cloud, how easy to follow God. Now they're looking at that pillar. That pillar is now inside your spirit. It was not that easy following the cloud. Physically it was easy. But you know one thing? They all live in camps. And every day, they must check whether the pillar of cloud is still there or not. Sometimes the pillar of cloud may decide to move. And you just pitch a tent. Some Malaysians say, alamak, I'm not going to pull it out again. And you say, I just put all this in. Do you know how much trouble it takes to set up a whole tent for your whole family? After you set everything up, and you just knelt and you worship God, pillar of cloud move up again. And you've got to pack all those things. Anybody who has traveled for, and you travel and you pack, you're traveling for about a month to 3 months, you would know how much you have to carry. I mean, all the clothes are in those bags. And you dread, how do you like living out of a different hotel room every night? I mean, you'd be packing and unpacking all the time. Rather, is it living in a suitcase? And so sometimes that is what an evangelist's life is like. You're traveling, pulling your bag from one place to another. People only see you in public so nice, you dress nicely, come and go. You go back to your hotel room, it's a mess. You don't unpack because you have been traveling and leaving off your bags. And it's so cumbersome, you know, packing. You know how difficult it is to pack and unpack. Imagine those Old Testament folks, and they got to pack everything, including the kitchen. And they have to do it fast, because if they're too slow, the cloud go away. Left behind, looking, where's the cloud now? Well, and follow the wrong cloud. It's dangerous. It's not quite as easy as we think. But here's the blessing of God. They have fellowship. They have guidance. And in chapter 10 that we'll consider, they have a form of spiritual organization through the trumpets. The trumpets help them organize for all kinds of activity. Four areas which we have covered. Four reasons for the trumpets and what they symbolize. But these are the three blessings if we will choose to live in with Agathos, with righteousness, Dikaios, and with Hagios. These other blessings, you will have fellowship with God. And God will come down to the level that you will allow Him. Sometimes people say, why don't God do more for me? Why don't God speak to my heart even more? It depends where you are standing, whether you're in Agathos, righteousness, or Dikaios, or Hagios. If you're in Agathos, your guidance is quite general. The pillar of cloud for you is only like water vapor. H2O. Not very strong. You know, sometimes detectable, sometimes not. If you are in the chaos, I mean, it's clearer now. At least there's some form of guidance. You can follow the pillar. But when you're in Hagios, you will be face to face with God. My friends, you're face to face with God. God speaks to you, and you speak to God. As I say, there is a price you pay for hagios. No shortcuts. You do sacrifice in order to be close with Him. If you don't want to be close to Him, just want righteousness, up to you. Which level you want to be at? It's up to us today. And we move into the second section. In the second section, it's a powerful warning. From chapter 11 to chapter 36. Again, we're going to focus on those three words. Those three words, agathos, dikaios, and hagios, we haven't finished. You see him reoccurring towards the end. And we will give you the highest level to live higher and deeper and the fullness of the depths of hagios. We will show how to move into that. But from chapter 11 onwards to chapter 36, they can be outlined in the spiritual truth. The three major sins that we are warned about that will diminish the faith in the church, given by Jude in the epistle of Jude. Those three will be found in the book of Numbers. Epistle of Jude is just before the book of Revelations. Three things they mention in verse 11. Woe to them, Jude verse 11. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. They run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit, and they perish in the rebellion of Korah. Three things. The way of Cain, the error of Balaam, the rebellion of Korah. Now, we are not talking about the other three. Remember what the other three are? The three primary sins. We are talking about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Where are they found? In the world. Right? When you move out from these three things, move out from the spirit of the world, you're free from those things. But you have three other things to face. Three other things to face that we need to take note here. The way of Cain, the what we call the error of Balaam, and the rebellion of Korah. You see, these three things can only occur to those who have known God to a certain extent. They are not sins that can be committed by the unbeliever. The unbeliever who have not known God can only commit those three sins. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And a believer who gets into the world can commit those three sins and become worthy. But those three that the book of Numbers warns us will be present potentially, if you don't watch it, among Christians, among churches. The way of Cain, the error of Balaam, the rebellion of Korah. All these three people have a relationship with God. Do you know Cain was talking to God in the book of Genesis? And God told Cain, if you do well, will you not be accepted? I mean, he's even talking to Cain and saying, hey Cain, be encouraged, do better. And then we see Korah. Korah was one of the top Levites. Of the three groups of Levites, that was the group that handled the most holy things of the tabernacle. Balaam, he could hear God. He even prophesied some of the most beautiful prophecies in the Old Testament. You read some of the prophecies that he prophesied when Balak came to him and asked him to curse the Israelites. Instead, he blessed them. Some of the most beautiful prophecies came from there. And God personally appeared to him. You remember how God appeared to him? We're going to see. Those three things you're going to find. Although you won't find Cain there, but the same way of Cain is inside. What is the way of Cain? The way of Cain is when you see somebody else being accepted by God, but not you. Somebody else growing faster than you spiritually. Somebody being more blessed spiritually than you. Somebody ahead of you spiritually. Somebody who seems to have a greater blessing of God than you. And inside you, you are angry. See, it's nothing, it's more than those three worldly sins. It's now moving into the realm of strife among brethren. What happens when you hear another ministry getting blessed? What do people do? Jealousy. Run them down. That's the way of Cain. Since we cannot do anything, let's kill Abel. So that God only will have me. And I know a lot of people who are coming up in the ministry who wish and who didn't learn submission to authority. And sometimes those in authority may not move in that kind of revelation they should. And they are not opening doors or helping. And some of those who are coming, good heart, righteous life, but a few thoughts not quite so holy. Inside them, they are wishing that this old God die. So their ministries will come up. You know, when will that old God die? You know, they heard prophecies like, now is the Joshua generation. And so, you know what they go about doing? They say, huh, Moses generation all going to die. And the way they talk is as if they really want them to die. They are really digging the grave for them. They will be the first to nail this coffin. That's a wrong attitude somewhere. That's called the Cain syndrome. Wrong spirit. Wrong attitude. And you notice, basically the Cain syndrome results in unrighteous acts. Unrighteous acts. And the Cain syndrome is, I want some more. I want this and I want that. And God, you're saying, unfair, unfair. God is unjust. Why doesn't God do all these things for me? Notice from Numbers chapter 11. Numbers 11. Right on. Numbers 11. Right on. To Numbers 15 is the area that covers the Cain syndrome. The way of Cain that is wrong. And the Bible in other portions talk about Cain, how Cain was wicked and he killed his brother. Talks about how Cain walked in darkness, walked in unrighteousness. Now from chapter 11 to chapter 15, there are many different types of sins, many different types of falls. But all one primary area, the way of Cain, and if you tie all back together, the sin of the tongue. You see, our tongue represents the fruit that we can give unto God. The offering of our lips. Whether it's acceptable or not acceptable. Notice in Numbers chapter 11, one of the first things that came to pass. In verse 1, now the people complained. And it displeased the Lord. The people were complaining. Their lips were sinning against God. Now their complaint could be genuine. They were not necessarily, saying things that were not real in their experience. But their lips were complaining. Now these are the things that you do find in among believers too. And then in verse 2, the people cried out to Moses. When Moses prayed to the Lord, the fire was quenched. And in verse 4, the mixed multitude. Take note of the mixed multitude. Mixed multitude in the Bible here represent those who have one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom of God.